morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. Opening up tomorrow night, October 25th at 7:30 p.m. in the Engine Room Theater at Shreveport Regional Art Council's Art Station. It's going to be a wild, wild night as River City Repertory Theater presents their new production of The Rocky Horror Show. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studio are three of the cast members for this show. Jonathan McVeigh, who plays the good Dr. Frankenfurter, Kelly Dorney, who appears as Janet, and Austin Alley, who plays Brad. And you might get to see Brad's underwear during this show. You never know. So, let's go into it. Most of the audience is probably familiar with this cult classic. But the original stage production, this is like a guy was bored one winter and he started writing this, and this is what comes out
exactly.
of that.
So. Richard O'Brien actually had, it was just pieced together out of a lot of things that he had written in various parts, some of which was for other shows.
Right.
And he just kind of put it all together, just kind of haphazardly, and it turned out working really well.
And, the background, there's a lot of apocryphal stories like this was written as a thing to flop so you could, get a lot of production money and then not have to pay anybody back because you go bankrupt. I don't know any of those stories are true.
A real-life producer?
Yeah.
But obviously this one kind of failed on that one because, everywhere I go, if the Rocky Horror Picture Show is playing anywhere, it's just like all my friends are like, oh, we got to go. We got to dress up. And it is really a participation theater production.
The audience becomes an integral part of the show.
And their own character to the show.
They are a character, exactly.
Yeah. And that's part of the fun of this is, you're not just a passive audience. You get to actually be involved in this. So let's go in and fill us in on the very detailed plot structure of this story.
Well, Brad and Janet, through a mishap, end up at the home and castle of myself, Frankenfurter, and then this wild evening ensues in which they are exposed to an entirely different way of life than they have ever been exposed to before. Literally exposed to before.
Tidy whities and everything.
Who are the characters in this? Give us an idea. Let's start with Dr. Frankenfurter. Exactly who are you?
Frank Frankenfurter is from the planet Transsexual in the galaxy of Transylvania. And there's a big backstory to him that you never really hear about. His mother is like the queen of Transsexual Transylvania, and so he's sort of royalty there. So he has come to Earth for some kind of undisclosed experiment. And he's this mad scientist slash sort of sexual vampire kind of a character who just lives for pleasure. And evidently everyone on Transsexual Transylvania does. It's like a normal way of life for them on that planet. And so but here on Earth, it's like this verboten, But so he has really taken advantage of this position that he finds himself in and is kind of almost like a self-proclaimed demigod to anyone that he surrounds himself with. So he loves to be worshipped, loves to be admired, and loves to just engage everyone around him in this pseudo-sexual environment.
It's almost like a Halloween party that had a little too much to drink.
Yes.
So it's a great way to come in to see the show.
Right. Yes. Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And tell us about Janet. What's her background?
So Janet is the typical kind of 1950s style ingenue. And her one dream is to get married and to live that life out in Levittown, probably with her husband Brad, and she ends up in this castle. And through Frank, she is awakened to her sexuality, and she becomes a a very different person than where she started.
So she goes into this looking for the white picket fence.
Yes.
And she comes out looking for the Addams Family home.
Probably.
Okay. And how about Brad?
Brad is just an all-American kind of, not boring, but boring kind of guy, you know, just like Janet. He just kind of wants to get married, settle down, and that doesn't happen, though.
The sort of traditional lifestyle that you're going to fit in with everybody. You'll have PTA every Wednesday night and do this
exactly.
and that. And it's this regimented kind of expected life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up in this castle in his underwear. So we'll have to talk about that because that kind of changes his perspective a little bit, too.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So one of the things when I was doing some research on this, now I'm a big like Roxy Music fan and Queen and early Slade and David Bowie. So glam rock. This is really
this
a
is
big
all
tribute
of that
to glam rock and that era of just fantastical clothing. Just go out and be flamboyant on stage and really put on a show. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see a lot of that in the stage costuming, I presume.
Oh, yes.
Probably see all your favorite rock bands. Who knows, Freddie Mercury maybe up there on stage, too. So give us some idea of the glam rock bands that the writer of this was, you know, particularly focused in on.
Well, both. The two main ones, David Bowie, Queen, you just mentioned
Roxy Music?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were all, help me out here. The name of that character that David Bowie played.
Ziggy Stardust.
Ziggy Stardust. Yeah. Thank you. That was a big part of this.
Right.
He was very, very influenced by all of that. And this was kind of his tribute to that whole era and way of being. And everyone picked up on it hugely. I mean, the stage show was like it was a pretty good success for
right.
that. And then they made the movie, which completely flopped.
Right.
When it first came out, and it began showing on these midnight showings, and a whole group of people started getting bored one night and began talking back to the screen. That's how, and then it's like they rediscovered this whole Ziggy Stardust glam rock kind of
culture,
yeah,
or subculture,
counterculture.
Yeah,
right.
You can define it in a lot of different ways. The other influence on this, some of my favorite old sci-fi movies are I Am a Big The Day the Earth Stood Still, you know, King Kong, and Forbidden Planet, which I love with Leslie Nielsen as you know,
and Francis
Altair, yeah, right. And Francis. So Hammer Films, give us some idea about who they
are. Well, they were all for the film particularly, the Hammer Films were, that was what he wanted his palette to be for the movie. And the acting styles and everything was all about those B-horror flick. Because Richard O'Brien was a huge fan of
right.
the science fiction ilk. And that's what he wanted this film to be as well. He wanted, and the whole style and feel of the
right.
show was supposed to be reminiscent of all those films that he loved.
Yeah, I think there was a whole generation of us who grew up on those B movies on Saturday afternoon.
Every Saturday or
you know,
Sunday.
A couple of bucks, great afternoon, get some popcorn, just laugh your, you know, what off in the theater at some of the goofy stuff and just the over the top writing and stuff.
And then my generation, I got to re-experience it as part of the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of reminiscent of this show as well, of people talking back to the
right.
screen.
Well, those characters up front were us when those movies were on. We were like, oh, really? Seriously? You know, now I go back. I still love those old B movies. And I go back and I see all the inconsistencies and everything, you know. But when you're young, you don't care. You're just there for some entertainment. So let's go through each of the other characters.
I think the big one is like Magenta and Riff Raff, who are kind of like Frankenfurter's cohorts.
Yeah.
And they're just like, just wonderfully creepy, kind of like these Transylvanian people who are just these giant caricatures, and it's kind of great to see on stage.
So who's going to play Magenta in this?
That's Heather.
Heather Bryson
okay.
is playing Magenta.
And our Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. Riff Raff is Frank's number one guy to go. It's like he calls him his handyman.
Yeah.
It's played by Aidan Poling.
Yeah.
He is just incredibly wonderful in this role and can just wail on the part.
And Riff Raff is sort of the comic version of the Igor Igor
exactly.
kind of character.
He's a little taller. The hunchbacked, sidekick to Frank, who probably, very possibly, is the real brains behind the creation of the quote monster.
Right.
Which brings up the next character, the character of Rocky, who yeah. is Frank's creation of his ideal man. He has handpicked all the parts that make up this man that's his ideal.
Literally handpicked, mm-hmm. yeah. And this character, Rocky, is instrumental in Janet's...
Yes.
Reawakening yes. as a woman. In
she proclaims herself to be not a fan of muscles, but I think by the end of the show, she changes her mind. when she's presented with Rocky, she falls victim to his wares.
Who wouldn't? I mean, he's like... he's played by Richard Wingert, very talented young man from New York. Boston, excuse me.
And who gets to play the Meatloaf character of Eddie?
Meatloaf, Eddie. Eddie is this wonderful cameo role that was a cohort of Frank's prior to his creation of Rocky, and in fact, share half of his brain was used to create Rocky. So they both Rocky and Eddie share two halves of the same brain. So they're sort of connected, and they don't really, especially Rocky, doesn't quite realize it. But that is played by Rachel Havrid, who is also our stage manager. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun little plum roll that jumps in right in the middle of the show, has right. this great number, and then... something untoward may happen.
Yeah, you never know. So now we also have Columbia, who's a groupie. Mm-hmm. Who's going to fill that role?
Alyssa. Farmer.
Thank you.
And she is enamored and in love with Eddie. And she was in love with Frank as well. And she's definitely a Frank groupie. And you kind of see how Frank's power and control keeps Columbia in check until it doesn't anymore.
And then we have a Dr. Everett Scott. Give us an idea of who this devious character is.
Well, actually, it's Dr. Scott is the reason that Janet and Brad end up at the castle in the first place after they get engaged. They're like, okay, well, let's go find the man who began it. And when we met in his science exam it. And... it's Dr. Scott that ends up at the castle kind of tying it all together. And he is also a scientist as well, going against the what Frank is trying to do. And they kind of butt heads. And also we find out that Eddie is Dr. Scott's nephew. It's all intermingled in this spider web of connections, of course. And Dr. Scott is the one that reveals the true identity of what Frank really is.
He shows up at the castle on a completely different mission. Right. He has no idea that Brad and Janet are even there. And discovers them there, and it discovers that they are all interconnected by this web.
And Patrick McWilliams, he is going to be on stage too.
He is our artistic director. The artistic director of River City Rep is he's playing the criminologist, who is the narrator of the show, who kind of starts telling the story from the very beginning and throughout. Intersperses some commentary on what's going on.
So as an audience participation play, how are you going to bring the audience into this to participate?
Well, we're definitely in their face. We are very, very close to the audience. The way that the stage is set up, it's almost like a three-quarter thrust. And so we will be very close to the audience, and so many times that will hopefully draw the audience into the show much more easily than if it was just a typical proscenium. Hopefully we will give them all the right cues to encourage them to yell the appropriate responses back.
They also, we're selling participation packets that have got some of the items that people have become accustomed to throwing, cards and a newspaper and I don't know what all they're going to put in there. Confetti. Yeah, yeah. And there's even places, staged areas that are actually in the audience that we go to a few times. So everyone's very, very, very much encouraged to jump in and be part of this wild ride and make it a really fun Halloween week.
Look, if you're lucky, you might even get to dance the Time Warp
with us. Yeah. Get up on stage.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and well, let's go in, get into just a little bit of each of your backgrounds in theater. Jonathan, you've been here on a number of occasions. Mm-hmm. You were here for the Spelling Bee, and I believe you played in A Lion in Winter.
Yes,
did you know?
I've been. This is my 8th production here. I've done. I played Richard in Lion in Winter. I was with Kelly here in the Spelling Bee, 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Moonlight at Magnolias, A Little Night Music, The Goat or Who is Sylvia. The last show that I did here was last year. I played Gould in Grey Gardens, musical, with Heather,
right,
who she played the lead in that, and she's the one playing Magenta.
A wonderful production, so
and,
very touching.
So yeah, I love coming here and working with this company. So
Kelly, I mean, you were in the Spelling Bee.
I was in Putnam County Spelling Bee. I played Olive. And I am based out of Los Angeles, and I love coming here. I'm really close to where I grew up. I grew up in Plano, Texas, so my parents love it because they get to come visit and see me in shows. And bless them, they're coming to see Rocky Horror, as terrified as I might be for them to come and see it.
Are they aware of what the theater is?
I have warned them.
Well, now, you've also been in Oklahoma and Lend Me a Tenor and a lot of other musicals as well.
I've been very lucky in Los Angeles to do quite a bit of theater out there. This year has been a lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein. I started the year with Carousel. From there, I did a reading of State Fair, and then I did a production of Oklahoma, and then a reading of Pipe Dream. And so, just for something completely different, Rocky Horror was next.
Yeah, that's different. Definitely.
Very different.
So, and Austin, Rent is one of your productions.
Mm-hmm.
That you've
I played
been in?
Mark and Rent.
Okay.
And this is actually going to be my 5th year playing Brad in Rocky Horror.
Oh, okay.
So
you're used to being on stage in your underwear, though.
Oh, yeah. My shame is completely gone.
Gone. No shame left there. So
disappeared.
Well, you've also been in Biloxi Blues. And so what else have you performed in?
I did a show called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do in San Antonio with the Cameo Theater, which was a lot of fun. Now I'm kind of just focusing on Rocky.
But you've also been in Hairspray.
Played Link, all that fun stuff.
So how do folks go about getting tickets for this and more information about the show times and everything?
Well, the best place to do that is to give our box office a call. That's River City Repertory's box office. The number is 318-868-5888. And you can call them Monday through Saturday from 11 to 4. Someone will be there to take your reservation. Or if you are more comfortable online, you can get tickets through brownpapertickets.com and just search for River City Rep, search for the Rocky Horror Show. Not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That would be the movie.
Right.
And our show opens October 25th, and we run through October 30th. Performances are at 7:30 p.m., and except for the 29th, which will be at 3 p.m. So if you're not a late night goer, come to our matinee on that Sunday, the 29th. But we close right before Halloween, so you will not miss out on any Halloween parties, and you can still enjoy the Rocky Horror Show.
And maybe you'll be lucky and you'll go to a Halloween party that is themed on the Rocky Horror
Show. You might,
picture.
And you know, this fun? Is a good place to test out your Halloween costume, because we do encourage people to come dressed for the Rocky Horror Show. Come as your favorite character. Come as Columbia. Come as Magenta. Come as Riff Raff or Frank, whoever you like the best.
Any final thoughts you guys want to share to get people to say, you know what, we got to come out and have some fun for this?
Yeah, that's what this show is all about. It is not a lot of heavy thinking to it. It's just really good, fun. Jump in with both feet and have a great time.
It's not 3 hours long. It's a quick, fun event. And it's one of those that I feel like everybody needs to experience the Rocky Horror Show at some point in their life. And this is not often do you get to see the show done, except for, of course, around Halloween. But you can't go out without seeing this show at least once. I think it's such an opportunity for people to become really a part of the theater experience. One of the best things about theater, about live art, is that it changes and it morphs and it's never the same. And this time you get to help create that as the audience in this show in particular.
Exactly. Because I know some people that are going to come see it more than once. They're going to see a different show every single. I mean, that's typical of theater anyway. Right. You will never see the exact same performance twice. But this one in particular, because the audience is such a character, it's going to really change from night to night. And that's very exciting.
And that's the joy and the fun of theater is that, you know, live theater can morph. It really gives the audience and the actors on stage a chance to develop almost a new thematic thrust to the play. I mean, it could morph.
It is the pelvic thrust.
Yes, it is. I threw that in there for a reason. So, well, Jonathan, Kelly, and Austin, I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. That was Jonathan McVeigh, who plays the good Dr. Frankenfurter, Kelly Dorney, who appears as Janet, and Austin Alley, who plays Brad in River City Repertory Theater's new production of The Rocky Horror Show. It opens up tomorrow night, October 25th at 7:30 p.m. in the Engine Room Theater at Shreveport Regional Art Council's Art Station. And for more information, you can visit River City Repertory Theater online at rivercityrep.org, or you can call 318-868-5888. That's 318-868-5888. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.
It's just a jump to the left. Put your hands on your hips.